Sirius XM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Tuesday, race fans, and following a long tradition of dark Tuesdays, and of course in Saratoga now we've got dark Mondays and Tuesdays. Tuesday dawning with violent thunderstorms. We had absolute torrent a little bit earlier, and I know some people that were planning activities, they may have had to wait it out for a little bit and see what happens, but we're much needed, much needed, very nice, and certainly we'll set up the turf courses for the second full week of racing here. Should set it up nicely. Good morning, Sirius 219 XM 201 Sports on 964 if you're listening online and at our website as well, stevebick.com. And I'll admit we're kind of looking at 16 different things at once, still reviewing some of the weekend and also yesterday, of course, having the Del Mar card included, making for an interesting Monday, kind of a throwback, right, to summers of, particularly at Saratoga, when you'd have that overlap and, the racing would continue after the end of the Saratoga cards in the backyard and around, and that's what people are missing. Undoubtedly, right? But certainly another showcase, if we want to talk about Del Mar for a minute. Umberto Rispoli. Four winners yesterday for Rispoli. And actually, if you, as the card went on, there were quite a few winners on the 10-race slate. That were kind of nice to see, including Eddie Truman, approved for Flyby. That was one of Rispoli's winners. And was happy for Gary Mandela. He got Negotiator with Juan Hernandez, who we talked about yesterday with Brad Free. And Paula Capestro. Nice to see Paula Capestro's name. And one that she owns, too, I think, right? Yeah, the horse that she owns and bred. A Dominus colt. Dominant Soul breaks the maiden wire to wire under Pereira. And that came in the first half of the card. The racing was good. I kind of watched and much like Sunday night, kind of was fading away as the late action. I had to kind of look up the last couple of races to see how things turned out. But they certainly did business. I'll tell you that. That part they can't. I imagine they're happy with that number, right? They did 11, almost 12 million. And that should, I assume, I haven't seen anything written about that yet, but you would think that if they're experimenting toward another day like that, that this Monday card probably, satisfied their curiosity. Elsewhere, beside Del Mar, of course, opening day at Presque Isle. Yesterday, nice variety there as well. And, I got to mention, because because it was kind of funny. You tune in for the openers and see how things get started. But immediately kind of smiled when Fox Rocks when Fox Rocks won the first at Presque Isle to get the season going. And boy, it feels like he's been around forever. New York based, and a fixture, and certainly, I got to pull the chart up and see how old he is, because he's a horse that was a stake horse, in New York circles, early on was a absolute Finger Lakes standard. I mean, for ages. 9 years old. 9 years old. And Fox Rocks still winning races. Amazing. 8,500 to start the season. Pablo Morales aboard for owner-trainer Mark Hoffman. Originally bred by the Petrasacks, Dennis and Deborah Petrasack. An officer out of the very nice She's a Stone Cold Fox. And you want to talk venerable. That gets him, inches him closer to $500,000 in earnings, his 89th career start. I love it. How do you not respect a horse like this? And he has maintained his form, just year after year. And undoubtedly, going to Presque Isle has been good for him. He's been running at around this level. This is probably the smallest amount. No, he'd run for 8,000 actually in October last fall. But Hoffman had him for most of last year, and then went down to Tampa with Dennis Ward, and now back with Hoffman. How do you not respect this? 19 wins in 89 career starts. 19. And of course, raced at Saratoga. And just looking at the stakes, go back to he won the Aspirant by 18 lengths in 2013. It's so great. Unbelievable. Second in the New York Derby. I Love Lulu was third behind him. How about that? I Love Lulu. Incredible. Competed throughout New York. Don't know if he ever, during the winter, if he ever came down to, did he ever come down to Aqueduct? I don't think he ever raced at Aqueduct. But Belmont and Saratoga, certainly. Finger Lakes, Presque Isle. Amazing. Fox Rocks. had a big smile when I watched him come home. And he was a price too. Paid $12.60, beating the 3-2 favorite, Midnight Punk. I'm sure we'll talk to Dick Powell about this, but for those of you that are going to play Presque, just day one, winners came three from Tampa, eight race card, three from Tampa in terms of recency, one from Belterra, one from Penn National, one from Mountaineer, and you had two layoff horses win, one that had been seen last fall at Penn and one that hadn't raced since Presque Isle ended the season last year. So it'll be interesting to see as the season goes on. They had rough weather in Indiana. They ended up having to take some of the late races off the turf. And, of course, Colonial keeping an eye down there to get their season getting started a day late. Certainly weather-wise, heat-wise, We're feeling it here. But Colonial, just in the last couple of minutes, they're going to push the first post back an hour to 6:30. So roll back Colonial's start today from 5:30 to 6:30. But they look set to get started. So and maybe we'll get a quick blast in at some point this morning with Jill Murner, one of the guys, either Jason Beam or Merv Huber. So good that they're going to get started at Colonial. Certainly one story and a story we're trying to dig into and have reached out to a number of major tote analyst types and getting some feedback. Jay Privman has been following that story from Sunday at Del Mar. Let's go back to Del Mar. The kind of befuddling structure involved in the pick six hit. And the CHRB, they swung into action, and good for them to, you know, very quickly on Monday, you know, go through the, you know, basically trace back, you know, where the wager came from, the wagers, because clearly it's, you know, from a computer group, seemingly, because there were just too many tickets involved, you know, to be manually, obviously, manually punched. And if you have not seen the specifics, the pick six gets hit. And, of course, you had the Tim McKenna $100 horse, which essentially triggered the jackpot portion, and it's early in the Del Mar meet, so it isn't exactly, you know, a gigantic, you know, monster score. It's 173,912. And the crazy part about it, and even some people who really understand, you know, the structure involved, the total amount wagered was $29,652. And, you know, there are a couple of things at play here, including the ability in California. California adjusted some of the jackpot pick six rules so that, you know, tickets that could be punched under the same serial number count as a, you know, as a single bet, and that, you know, that part, you know, I think anybody essentially, you know, can do that. I mean, the ability to do that is widely available. Even if you're punching tickets manually, you can do that. You can batch bet essentially. What is difficult to figure out, and even some of the people that I talked to, when I tell you some of the people that, you know, discussed a little bit of this with and still being digested, it is the total amount, not so much what essentially was a ladder, you know, was ladder bet. And if you saw last night, Jay Privman retweeting Mike Martin from the CHRB, and Martin had a series of three tweets out there that, you know, explained what they found. And the bet came from Amtote's Hunt Valley base in Maryland. And there were, you know, the wagers came in as close to as 4 minutes to post, and because of the total amount, 8,613 wagers. That's what, you know, provides support that, you know, that this came, you know, from a computer-assisted wagering program. What's fascinating is that the specific bet was an $8 increment, and 70% of the bets made, according, you know, to Martin, to the CHRB, you know, diving into it, 70% were in the $2 increment, and then the rest of them were in, you know, much larger multiples, $4, $6, $8, $10, $12, $14, $16, $24, $26, and $60. And, you know, essentially, obviously on this scale, it's a little different and it's a little overwhelming, but it's really not any different than a ladder concept of wagering more on the strongest opinions, the most likely result. That you know, that's essentially what it's doing. And the inclusion of the McKenna winner, the $114 winner, was only on 1% of the tickets. So in terms of triggering the bonus, the jackpot portion of the $2 pick six at Del Mar, that part of it, you know, it took that kind of a horse. It took a horse that wasn't going to appear on you know, many tickets, if any. So that part of it, and essentially the the total amount wagered here, that's what, and even the people who I talk to that really, that, you know, completely understand, you know, this approach and you know, the breadth of the computer assisted wagers, the $29,000, even with your rebate, it doesn't make any, it's such a crazy amount to put in. That's the part that people are just shaking their heads. I mean, and let's see, I've got the winners from, I'm curious, because what happens if McKenna's horse doesn't win, right? You know, what is this thing? That's, you know, what does this pay? Because you had, I'll tell you what would have been interesting. You know, the nightcap winner was 3-1, the second choice, and the favorite was 3-2. But there was an 87-1 shot. The Art Sherman runner, Big Game Plan, was a closing second in here. So if that might be, would have been curious if that ticket would have existed. You know, with that combination, would an 87-1 shot have been covered? You know, you had Galilean that was 6-5. You had Friars Road that was even money. This is what's so difficult to understand in here is if the McKenna horse doesn't win, what does this end up, you know, paying? And does it even offset the, you know, the amount spent? So it's just kind of confounding, really, you know, part of it. That part may take further revelation, essentially. Here's a couple of quotes. All wagers were placed in batches, the last batch 4 minutes before the first leg of the pick six, from Mike Martin. And all 8,600 wagers used one horse in each race, or using the popular wagering terminology, six singles. But the denominations of those wagers differed. So, I mean, they're essentially one by one by one by ones covering all these different combinations. at, you know, various increments. So let's say, yeah, for instance, with the Meccano horse, and actually I don't, where is the, by the way, I'm having computer, having a little, going tomorrow. I have to wait a week for an appointment, at the Apple store to try to get my MacBook, straightened out. So taking me a little longer to pull things up like this, but let's bear with me with this, because the whole thing is just it's important, and you know, helping people understand, and we are going to have a conversation about, you know, the kinds of ADWs, essentially the boutique ADWs, because I don't think everybody, we've touched on it and we've mentioned them before, but you know, that's part of this equation as well. So here we go. 56-1. You had Lionite second in here at 9-2 for Bob Hess. Now, if let's say Sweet River Baines doesn't win, and you end up with, you know, a $12 horse, and the rest of the, you know, fairly mundane results, 3-1, 6-5, even money, 3-2, and 2-1. So you had one favorite, two favorites, three favorites, four favorites, and a second choice, and then the longest shot on the board. So let's say that Sweet River Baines doesn't win that race, and third choice, Lionite does. Four favorites, a second choice, and a third choice ends up being your sequence. They might have had that combination for $16 or for $24 12 times. That's what, you know, that would have been, you know, a result that wouldn't have gone into this conversation. So I think it's a kind of a look behind the curtain as to this approach, to these approaches with the computer groups, and it's a whole nother. So I should quickly add up the parlay and then, you know, multiply it by one of the largest. Obviously, if they played one ticket with all favorites, you know, probably 60, you know, that was probably the $60 ticket with all the most likeliest winners. And then the $26 increments, five favorites, and and down the line you go. That's what happened here. I mean, essentially, it's no different than, you know, the conversation we have, for instance, with Nick, and talk about weighing your pick four or pick five combinations. You know, let's say you're a grid player, ABCs, do it that way. And, you know, you've got 4 A's and a C for 50 cents. You've got 3 A's and 2 B's for $1. You've got all A's for $3. That's, you know, that's what those of us that, you know, that are playing, you know, on a different level. And, you know, part of this equation and discussion, you know, there's several tangential discussions, including, you know, the whole complaint of the jackpot concept. This is sort of a hybrid, because, you know, having the $2 increment back, you know, his throwback pick six. But, you know, whenever there's a jackpot involved, it just seems to create a negative, you know, potentially negative backlash whenever anything that's difficult to explain and comprehend occurs, whether it's DQs or non-DQs or, you know, any of the various incidents that have cropped up since the institution of the jackpot concept has spread. And how many different ways can we say that it's, you know, not worth the, seemingly not worth the effort, for all the reasons that have been discussed, you know, holding money out of circulation, a usurious takeout structure, generally are built on the backs of small players using a rather dubious marketing approach. Oh, 20 cents, you can win millions. No, you can't. Stop. It's just stupid. It's a bad gimmick. It's a huckster approach, and all it seems to do is you know, produce a negative reaction over and over again. In this case, it's more fascinating than anything, and you know, it's a peek into, as we said, peek into the computerized mentality. And you know, part of the other tangent is that, you know, how much of an edge obviously the groups get, you know, by having access and being able to plug in and, you know, batch bet these wagers. And of course, they've, you know, they're a big percentage of the total pools, 20%, 30%, somewhere in there. We've had this discussion with Maury Wolf and with Andy Serling and with Paul Matisse and Frank Angst. And, you know, we've discussed this, you know, nonstop, really, off and on. Maury Wolf warned the industry in 2000 that this was a problem. But the appeal of, you know, the volume was irresistible. And now it's, you know, how do you, you can't turn back the clock. You know, I saw somebody say, "Oh, well, and they get rebates." Well, yeah, they're you know, people that buy anything in quantity, volume, but you know, volume users, they get discounts and they get, you know, buyer advantage based on, you know, their size. That's not a phenomenon, or, you know, there's no business tenant that is being, you know, established for the first time by providing, you know, the biggest contributors into the pools volume rebates. I don't think that's a revelation to anybody. And, you know, when we talk, in fact, Jeff Franklin is going to join us from Thorograph Player Services. You don't have to be a whale or a computer group to get rebates. Everybody is eligible. Virtually everybody is eligible to get some rebate. And you know, even if you're a casual player, a weekend player, you may not be getting a volume discount, but you might be getting free information, free PPs, etc., from your ADW. That's something of a rebate. You're getting, whether it's a point system, even the smallest casual bettor, there's things available for you that constitute either a, you know, continuity appreciation or, you know, something that resembles value added back to you for playing. But to be deriding, you know, rebates, that's a little silly, given the general structure of business. But there are plenty of other issues that are troubling or just, you know, irksome when it comes to the jackpot and the concept. And that is essentially hurting the game when there's so many other areas that we could be focusing on. And the most important being, you know, offering as good a wagering product as possible at the best, most attractive pricing. That's the most important thing that, you know, should be focused on, you know, as opposed to this come on. That really hasn't. In fact, I saw this morning Chris Rossi, you know, who's analyzes the handle day in, day out. even though I think he would rather be doing something else, he's drawn to it. A couple of months ago, I think Rossi had said, "Well, I'm gonna pull back from, you know, my work in the tote analysis." But, you know, under the circumstances, it's such an interesting dynamic we've got going because of the pandemic and because of the shifts that have, you know, been seen into a day like yesterday. I mean, obviously, yesterday was an exception or exceptional because of Del Mar. And the big numbers they did, and you know, they were a bit of a hurricane yesterday, as they figured to be, and they took some handle away from some of the other, you know, smaller tracks. I think Indiana did 1.3. Finger Lakes did a million yesterday. I didn't see what Canterbury did, but, you know, you knew that Del Mar was going to be a proverbial 800-pound gorilla. So, what I was saying was that he said that there really hasn't been, it haven't seen a lot of jackpot, you know, growth from, you know, to the overall handle. It hasn't been productive that way. And then you could probably argue that the money that's kept out of circulation, that the churn from that money being, you know, held hostage, you know, what are we losing while that money is sitting, you know, locked up in the money room? So, anyway, you've heard me riff on this countless times. I think this has been a very unproductive. Quick note for those of you that saw the crazy, Frankie Pennington. I talked to Tony Black the seventh yesterday at Parks. Lady Lucy Liu looked like she was on her way perhaps to a win in a 16 claimer. And Frankie Pennington, the horse ducked into the gap on the turf course. And Frankie was hitting her right-handed a couple of times. And so she smashed through the temporary rail. Nobody was hurt. Horse is fine. Frankie's fine. Maybe a little embarrassed. Tony said he couldn't believe it. A guy as experienced as Frankie doing that. Anyway, I checked with John Service this morning, and the horse got claimed. Carlos Soto took her home, and she was okay. So, if you were worried. Let's take a break. Kimberly Weir from TRF going to start us off. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Developed by Horsemen, horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at horsebills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice. Voices sent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643, 888-938-4643, or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsforum. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Listos.
To At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Golden brown, texture like sun, lays me down in my mind. She runs throughout the night, no need to fight, never a frown with golden brown.
We're back at the races, coming up on 20 to the top of the hour, and I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago when I booked him, but very pleased that in the next hour, Dr. Normand Ducharme, Dr. Ducharme from Cornell, is going to join us. And after he had performed the tie-back surgery on our horse, on Kid Chocolate, and of course, Dr. Ducharme himself, the originator, of tie-back surgery, really, an innovator. I mean, I guess there's probably quite a few people that got a new heart from Dr. DeBakey, but, it really is, you feel pretty good when you hear that, Dr. Ducharme is going to be available. He's going to be in town. He can do the tie back surgery. Okay. It's a deal. I'll have the guy that created the concept. Thank you very much. And obviously did a nice job too, but I said to him at the time, when he operated on Kid Chocolate, I said, you know, it's been years since he had been on, and we used to have Dr. Ducharme when the Cornell collar was developed, and, you know, it was on a few times, but that goes back, you know, years. And so I said, you know, let's get an update. And so he'll update us on advances and, you know, what has changed in that landscape when it comes to throat surgery and airway work on racehorses. And we also, by the way, yesterday you saw that I retweeted that one note that that the University of Kentucky from the Gluck Center, the report about you know, further investigation into horses' genetic markers and their, you know, their makeup, and having hints at, you know, horses that might be more at risk for issues. And immediately I caught my attention, and we reached out to Dr. Page, Alan Page, and hope to get him in as soon as, you know, we can book him regarding the report. And they say there's some really valuable insights, and that's why they do that kind of work. Happy to get a chance to visit with Kimberly Weir from the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation, and I had owed Kim a visit anyway, and wanted to catch up on fundraising activities this summer. And of course, we mentioned a couple different times already, you know, with the situation at places like Del Mar and Saratoga this summer, with, you know, no steady supply of visitors. You know, not that there aren't people in town that have come to spend the summer, but it's obviously not a typical summer at, you know, the seasonal venues. So some of the fundraising apparatus and, you know, the reliable sources for, you know, fundraising and galas and so forth are not available. So important to keep the, you know, the awareness level high. And yesterday, the news from the Wyeths, Jamie Wyeth, provides a perfect backdrop to get Kim in here and update us on the summer. Kim, good morning.
Well, good morning, Steve. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me. And I just love listening to your earlier comments there about all the medical science focusing on the animals and their health and their welfare. And that was really interesting as my segue into a chat with you today. So glad to be here.
Well, and also, of course, the way the morning broke around here in the Saratoga area, which provided an opportunity to get you, because you're supposed to be out on the polo pony right now.
Well, that's right. I was actually going to be on one of these fabulous animals today, but yeah, that thunderclap and cloudburst brought me here, and I'm so glad to be here. So thank you.
Well, and you talk about how, and we'll get into what Jamie offered yesterday, and you know, in memory of Phyllis, the Union Rag story was so special. But overall, before we get to that, talk about the backdrop of, you know, stakeholder, horse player, and fanless racing this summer, and how it, you know, is making, you know, making things that much more difficult for organizations like TRF.
Yeah, I find myself using the phrase "the summer unlike any other," and I say that with a lot of hope, because I guess we're all hoping it's unlike any other, certainly unlike any other previously. But you know, it's been just all about resilience and creativity. I feel like those are my two most overworked words, and it's what our team has really been embracing. It's what everyone in racing has been embracing. All those folks on the backstretch and on the front side trying to make racing work in a year unlike any other. And so we are in that same boat with just with the fact that our mission, like many a mission, it is totally unfazed by the circumstances that we live in. Our horses need just as much care and attention as they do, despite all the changes in the world. So we've really just thrown ourselves into being creative and being resilient and working with what we have, as opposed to focusing on what we don't have. We do miss having everybody filling our streets and our restaurants and our grandstands here in Saratoga. But there, as you said, there are still lots of people working really hard that are here in town. And so what we're really doing across the board of our events is to be, if it sounds kind of schizophrenic, but is to be hyper-local and completely geographically agnostic at the same time. So how's that for sounding like a tall order? But it is, with each of these events, we want to make sure the folks who are here, which is our locals, our neighbors, you know, like you and me who live here all year long, the folks who've come up from downstate, we want the folks who are local to have things that are fun and interesting to do and that give us a chance to educate, raise awareness, and, of course, always pass the hat for the horses. So really focusing on our local community with our events, and I'll give a couple examples of those. But at the same time, at the very same time, with perhaps as much enthusiasm, really try to keep each event as one that is a way for those who can't be here to participate. Because we know, I mean, I was one of these folks for 20-plus years. Bobby and I coming to Saratoga, we counted down the days 52 weeks a year until we could come here. So we know how many folks wish they were here and are heartaching that they're not here. And so we're really trying to make each of our events a way for them to participate. Now, granted, it's almost entirely monetarily when you're not in town, but there's still some sense of community and being a part of events. So that idea, that sort of dichotomy of both very local and very global, is kind of a theme for all of our events. And I will bring that to fruition with the barbecue, because that is our big one for the summer. We are happily not super event reliant as an organization, which is also really good. But this event is just our summer TRF barbecue at the barn. We launched it last year to a great success. A simple recipe. I think simplicity was our best friend, and it was just low key. It was family friendly. It was low ticket price. Fun, bring everybody, hang out at this beautiful Saratoga winery, and it was a smashing success. So, of course, we plan to do exactly that this year, you know, just hit replay until the world went south. So we've reinvented it. We've tried to be creative, and indeed, it's very local. It's meant to be now carry out. So it's the TRF drive-through barbecue at the barn, and it lets everybody who is here, and they're working very hard to have at least one meal checked off the list that you don't have to cook. You can swing by the winery and pick up your carry out. So it's at the end of the day, it's carry out. But it's also trying to do something fun for folks who are here who have done a lot of carry out over the last 5 months. And so the drive-through is, I don't know, ask you, Steve, have you ever done one of those holiday lights things where you drive through the golf course, you know, the fairground? Okay. Oh, well, that's what we want everyone to imagine as they come to the winery on August 11th. Is imagine you're going to do one of those drive-through experiences, but instead of holiday lights, you're going to get horses and racing celebrities. And you're going to drive around the winery, which has a nice piece of land and good pass. It's sort of a circular route that goes around this beautiful green grassy lawn. And we are going to have, it sounds like we're going to have upwards of a dozen horses. They're going to come in all shapes and sizes, miniature ponies, some draft horses, and then very importantly, two of our very own TRF herd, Joey and Boldmon, will be there. So you drive around them, you get to see them. There'll be some that are being ridden. There'll be some that are just sort of looking adorable for photo ops. And then it'll finish with a few really fun of our favorite racing celebrities. In fact, just to put you on the spot, Steve, you know you have an invitation from me. I'd love it if you would come.
Sure, absolutely.
So think about it. You don't have to answer on the air.
Sure, no, happy to.
Oh, that would be so great. See, so, well, then I'll just run with that and say, tell all of your audience that Steve's going to be there August 11th. Tom Durkin's coming. Donna Brothers just confirmed. Ramon Dominguez will be there. So it'll be fun. And at the end of the day, you do a little drive around. It'll probably take 10 minutes, almost as long as it just took me to describe that. And then you'll pick up a really nice TRF tote, and you'll get your barbecue. You can also order pies, morning kill pies. A little signature cocktail is available. It's all very a la carte, And hopefully it'll make it sort of a little better than your average run for a pizza on a Tuesday night. And meanwhile, you're supporting the horses. So anyway, that is an example of where we're doing that. And just to finish that thought is that it's very local. If you're here, you can drive out and enjoy this. But if you're not, and this is where we've actually had probably the strongest response so far, because nobody really orders their carryout 3 weeks in advance. But what folks are doing from California, from Kentucky, from Illinois, folks are jumping on our barbecue website and they're buying bales of hay and bags of grain or TRF swag, you know, things they can enjoy from afar. And that's frankly all gifts to the horses. So we really want everyone to feel like they can join us, even if they can't be here in person.
Well, and we'll reiterate this a few times. We've got a little bit of time, obviously, August 11th, and that's a Tuesday, and we right on Route 29, the Saratoga Winery, and easily accessible from multiple directions, and make sure you circle the date, it should be, you know, for those that are going to be, let's see, I'm just looking at the calendar, obviously Travers on Saturday, and I would think that, you know, we'll be at optimal arrival. It does seem like there's more and more people coming to town, Kim, as you referenced, you know, having kind of a local feel and reaching locally. That's really the key at this point for whoever's going to be in town. And so the 11th, I'll remind everybody a bunch of times between now and then.
Yeah, well, thank you. Thank you for that. And it really, we want it to be fun. You know, it'll certainly be different because it's the event you will go to and you will never leave your car. I mean, just to be very clear, it will be very safe. We're keeping all of our guests, you know, locked in their cars, and our guests who will be waving and smiling will be suitably socially distant. And then the horses are pretty good. So, you know, it's just this, like, who knows what it will be. It will be something. And we're all just kind of excited about it and embracing the crazy because that's what we have to do. And that's what the horses are counting on. So, that is the name of the game this summer. Make fun where we can. And it's kind of been popping up in other places, you know, just trying to make the most of watch parties, make the most of a friend who has a backyard on the Oklahoma who's decided to host something for us with our friend Pete Fornatow. You know, so just making it fun for the folks who are here. And if doing so also gives us an opportunity to raise some dollars for the horses, it's, you know, a double win. So that's what we've been doing this summer. And it's weirdly just as busy for me as it ever is, except that the afternoons are very different. Let's just put it that way, as we all know.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we'll send out the link to the details and list of the menu to choose from, and it all will help the herd and the maintenance, care and maintenance of, you know, the largest number of retired thoroughbreds in North America that are cared for. Part of that storyline, as we look to the announcement about the pasture of Point Lookout, talk a little bit about Jamie Wyeth's gift and the establishment essentially of a an ongoing facility in memory of Phyllis Mills Wyeth, who so many people got to know during Union Rags's great run.
We are just walking on air in gratitude and a little bit of disbelief that this amazing gesture has happened. It's been happening for not that long. It all began in late January in terms of the TRF's even awareness of it. So really, when we think about the last 6 months and all the things in our lives that have been put on just absolute hold, this magnificent thing completely happened during the COVID time, and it's just extraordinary. Mr. Wyeth is just extraordinary as a benefactor, and then, like every good vision, you need an executor, and that's been Anita Motion in this case. She's just been a hero for these horses, as she and Graham are in so many ways, but this gesture is so grand, and it's one that we just are beyond words with our desire to celebrate it with gratitude and with hope, without losing the moment of gratitude. It's just the inspiration that Mr. Wyeth offers with this is the idea that, you know, I hold dear, which is that each of us have a role to play. If this is something we care about, which is the welfare and sanctuary of these beautiful animals after their careers is done, then we each must look inward to see what we can offer to the solution. And it's different for every single one of us. You and I, Steve, we tend to have the gift of the gab. That's what we do. We share the message and we reach out and we aren't afraid to ask and to engage. But others have different roles to play. And that comes in every shape and size. But what Mr. Wyeth has done here with the creation of Pastures of Point Lookout is just extraordinary, and the impact is not only immediate and profound with the 10 horses whose lives have just changed. You know, we like to think in many ways their lives haven't changed at all because they're living in pastures, roaming around in big fields and being left looked after. But boy, to go from Wallkill Correctional Facility, which is a beautiful horse farm, but it's a prison, to the extraordinary farm where Pastures of Point Lookout is amazing. I like to think of the children's book we could write about what those horses are thinking. What were they thinking last Tuesday? It was actually a week ago today that they hopped on the van at Brookledge, picked them up. Our good friends at Brookledge were a big part of this story. And they got them on the van at 8 o'clock. These horses hadn't been on vans in like 15 to 20 years, some of them. And they drove down the road for about 3 hours to, you know, horse heaven. So, you know, that part is, we're just giddy with the joy of what these horses have received as a gift, but also the lasting, as you mentioned, the lasting legacy in honor of the late, wonderful Miss Wyeth, is that not just these 10 horses, but then the horses that will follow them will be forever given this opportunity, which gives us the opportunity to save more. So there's just like layers upon layers. It's like a pebble in the pond of goodness that is coming from this, because he has saved 10 horses with the sanctuary, but he's offered sanctuary to 10 horses and he has saved 20, because his 10, those first 10 will be well cared for to the remainder of their days. And we now can look at our waiting list and think about which of the next horses we have a spot for. And that's just tremendous. So it's just an amazing day. Yesterday was an incredible day to share the story. And I so appreciate getting to just ruminate upon it with you a little bit, Steve, but there's just a lot in there, a lot to unpack, as they say, but it's all so good, and we are so grateful.
It's a 20-acre pasture. What's the maximum number of retirees that the farm can maintain?
Well, it's actually a 250-acre farm.
Total?
And so it's huge. And wow. we as the TRF tend to use it's a rule of thumb. It's not a rule of requirement by anybody other than us, that we tend to go with a 2 acre per horse calculus, because they hurt each other less. They eat more grass.
Right.
They, you know, it's all sort of efficient. So we are not putting any pressure on our friends at Pastures of Point Lookout, but let's say that with the 10 horses that are living there on the 250-acre farm, there's room if they were to choose to grow. meanwhile, these guys are, you know, living the life, and we're just so happy for them, because they really are an amazing bunch. The oldest member of that herd that has established the inaugural is 23 years old, canonized.
Wow.
23, and Tom Stream, actually, too. There's a couple, yeah, and then there's Val, who's 22. So this is a sign of our herd, right? And then Tame is 20. So that's what that is actually what Anita and her team at Pastures of Lookout, Point Lookout, really wanted. They wanted, it's not hard for us to find old ones in our herd, as you know, Steve. That's our specialty, is keeping them happy and healthy for a long, long time. But they wanted the older ones, because this is going to be their last chapter for several of these horses. This is their almost fourth career. We've had racing career. We've had a second athletic career, we've had a teacher career at Wallkill, and now I call this sort of like the condo in Boca for these guys that are really done and will do nothing but eat and play. So,
well, that my cousin Debbie actually has a condo in Boca, and that's pretty much what she does: eat and play. She may be listening. Actually, I'll know. I will know very quickly. She and my cousin Pearl, they listen actually to the show, and so I will know instantaneously if I just tweak my cousin. One thing that we should stress, and I've said this for years, and particularly when there was a period where TRF's responsibilities were being scrutinized, accepting horses and guaranteeing that they're going to then be looked after the rest of their lives, there's no other entity to some degree, nobody else that has this long commitment that can in some cases be 15, 20, 25 years. And that's a remarkable commitment, by an organization that is, obviously taking up a charge that in some cases probably should fall to, the people that benefited the most from that horse. And it can't be stressed enough that TRF has the greatest burden out there in aftercare. There nobody else has as many horses to look after for as long as TRF.
Well, it is a burden we carry with joy, but it is a heavy burden. and thank you, Steve. You speak so eloquently to who we are and what we do, and I'm grateful to be a part of this organization, and I'm all the more grateful that our organization is part of a community of others, so that we can each do that thing that we're the best suited to do. And so I think there's a humility in our mission, which is to take the sometimes, very often it's the less famous, it's the working class, it's our, as we know, in the claimers and the allowance races, it's those who gave their best and they deserve this. And yet we do, as you point out, we often have them for a very, very long time. So being efficient and being thoughtful about how we take care of them so that each of our donors' dollars makes the biggest impact for the longest amount of time. I mean, it's really interesting for me coming from a business background before the TRF. It's just the fascinating business model of how we do this so that we can do this for 20 plus years per horse. So it all comes back to those who care and give and contribute and give us the chance to tell that story, which is what you are such a tremendous ambassador, Steve. Thanks for all you say and all you do and all the airtime you give me, which is probably always more than you wanted me to take.
It has to be brought out. And when there's things like this to celebrate and, one of the real, so typical of the Wyatts to do something like this, and you fold in Herring Swell and Anita Motion and Graham, and, people should realize that there's going to be, employees, there's going to be, farmhands that are going to, as it grows and as you add to that, to that herd, it's a going concern, and that's a positive. I come back to that Triple Crown season with Union Rags and the pleasure Mrs. Wyeth took and how much she enjoyed that whole run, and what a challenge, obviously, it had to be, for her to come to come to Louisville and follow the horse. There was such pleasure that she was taking in his exploits, and this is really a perfect tribute to her. Because of how much she, loved the game, loved horses, and she'll be able to, contribute on an ongoing basis to the care and maintenance of retirees for years to come. So this is really a beautiful concept, and everybody thanks Jamie for this, and Phyllis for all she gave to the game.
Yeah, like truly said, just a lot of love infuses this whole thing. Her love, his love for her, and our collective love for these horses just all comes together. And it proves that there are good things happening in this world. As often as the news thinks, wants to tell us that it's all bleak and terrible, this is a story I hope brings a lot of joy all across the land, really. It's such a joy to share it.
Well, we are going to remind everybody 2 weeks from today as well, the 11th, the barbecue, going to be a drive-through version this year, and maybe that even offers more of an opportunity for people to come and enjoy it. 4 to 7, Tuesday, August 11th, 2 weeks from today, and we'll remind everybody, and if you go to trfinc.org, You've got all the information. I'll send out the direct link to it, and you can learn more if the first time you're really, you know, hearing. Even though we've featured for years, the work at TRF, whether it's the hay drive or, you know, sponsoring a horse or all the different ways that you can contribute to the outstanding work. Kim Weir, we'll see you in a couple of weeks, but we'll keep beating the drum. For TRF. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. See you on the 11th.
You got it. Kim Weir, everybody, and the work of the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. The Saratoga Winery, right on Route 29. And if you keep going, you can drive by our house if you're heading east. We live on Route 29 in Greenwich. At one time known as the Avenue of the Elms, until Dutch elm disease took all the elms. So now it's just Main Street. But for a long time, it was the Avenue of the Elms. And something, you know, sweet. I think when I moved here 21 years ago, and the Avenue of the Elms, name, it was starting to fade because the elms were gone, essentially. But Route 29, the Saratoga Winery, mark it down 2 weeks from tonight. Let's take a break, a little past the top of the hour. Dr. Ducharme, we're going to reach for Norman and talk about the advancements we've seen, that he has seen, that he's pioneered, essentially, in throat surgery. Tie back surgery. Dr. Norman Ducharme from Cornell joins us next.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Developed by Horsemen, Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at Horsebills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice. Voices sent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643, 888-938-4643, or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the 5 Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sports Form Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Form delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay. parlay winners, and more, all for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRFSports.
Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization.